He swam toward a faint sound, weapons ready. In the darkness, he sensed a bulky body up ahead. He chirped out and concentrated on the complex echoes. The returning sounds showed only one large creature in the vicinity, still and silent. He swam forward, took hold of it, and mourned. Water pulsed through his gill slits, and he cried out, "I am going to avenge you, brother. I am going to slay all in this sea who think. I am going to bring darkness upon all who hope. I am going to—" There came a loud splash. He let out a brief irk as something heavy fell from above onto his right side and wrapped long legs and arms around him. As the Brother of 12 Shadows struggled, he realized in stupefaction that his enemy was a human, a half-sentient, frail-skinned, wolfling human. "Before you do all those other things, here's one thing you'll do first," the voice rasped in Galactic 10, just behind his hearing organs. The brother wailed. Something fiery, sharp pierced his throat near the dorsal nerve cord. He heard his enemy say, almost sympathetically, "You are going to die." Chapter 83. Jillian.
All I can tell you, Jillian Baskin, is that he knew how to find me. He came here aboard a walker and spoke to me from the hallway.
Crydike was here?
Tom and I figured he'd deduced we had a private high-level computer, but the location should have been impossible.
I was not terribly surprised, Dr. Baskin,
the NIST machine interrupted, covering the impoliteness with a soothing pattern of abstract images.
The captain clearly knows his ship. I had expected him to guess my location.
Jillian sat by the door and shook her head.
I should have come when you first signaled for me. I might have been able to stop him from leaving.
It is not your fault,
the machine answered with uncharacteristic sensitivity.
I would have made the request more demanding if I thought the situation urgent.
Oh, sure, Jillian was sarcastic. It's not urgent when a valuable fleet officer succumbs to pressure atavism and gets lost in a deadly alien wilderness.
The patterns danced.
You are mistaken. Captain Crydike has not fallen prey to reversion schizophrenia.
How would you know?
Jillian said hotly.
Over a third of the crew of this vessel have shown signs since the ambush at Morgren, including all but a few of the Stenos grafted Fen. How can you say Crydike hasn't reverted after all he's suffered? How can he practice Kanink when he can't even talk?
The Nis answered calmly.
He came here seeking specific information. He knew I had access not only to Streaker's micro-branch library, but the more complete one taken from the Thenanin wreck. He could not tell me what it was he wanted to know, but we found a way to get across the speech barrier.
How?
Jillian was fascinated in spite of her anger and guilt.
By pictograms, visual and sound pictures of alternate choices, which I presented to him quite rapidly. He made quick yes or no sounds to tell when I was getting, as you humans say, hotter or colder. Before long, he was leading me, making associations I had not even begun to consider.
Like what?
The light motes sparkled.
Like the way many of the mysteries regarding this unique world seem to come together. The strangely long time this planet has lain fallow since its last tenants became degenerate and settled here to die. The unnatural ecological niche of the so-called drill tree mounds. Souts, strange voices from the depths.
Dolphins of Sout's temperament are always hearing voices, Jillian sighed.
And don't forget, he's another of those experimental Stenos.
I'm sure some of them were passed into this crew without the normal stress tests. After a short pause, the machine answered matter-of-factly.
There is evidence, Dr. Baskin. Apparently Dr. Ignacio Metz is a representative of an impatient faction at the Center for Uplift.
Jillian stood up.
Uplift. Damn it, I know what Metz did. You think I'm blind? I've lost several dear friends and irreplaceable crewmates because of his crazy scheme. Oh, he hot-tested his sports all right, and some of the new models failed under pressure. But all that's finished. What does Uplift have to do with voices from below, or drill tree mounds, or the history of Kithrop, or our friendly cadaver Herbie, for that matter? What does any of it have to do with rescuing our lost people and getting away from here?
Her heart raced, and Jillian found that her fists were clenched.
Dr. Baskin,
the Nis replied smoothly,
that was exactly what I asked your Captain Krydike. When he put the pieces together for me, I too realized that Uplift is not an irrelevant question here. It is the only question. Here at Kithrop, all that is good and evil about this several billion-year-old system is represented. It is almost as if the very basis of galactic society has been placed on trial.
Jillian blinked at the abstract images.
How ironic, the disembodied voice went on, that the question rests with you humans, the first sophant race in eons to claim evolved intelligence. Your discovery in the so-called Shallow Cluster may result in a war that fills the five galaxies, or it may fade away like so many other chimerical crises. But what is done here on Kithrop will become a legend. All of the elements are there. And legends have a tendency to affect events long after wars are forgotten.
Jillian stared at the hologram for a long moment. Then she shook her head.
Will you please tell me what the bloody damn hell you are talking about?
Chapter 84
Ikahi Kipiru.
We must hurry, the pilot insisted.
Kipiru lay strapped to a portadock. Catheters and tubes ran from the webbing that kept him suspended above the water's surface. The sound of the skiff's engines filled the tiny chamber.
You must relax, Ikahi soothed. The autopilot is in charge now. We're going as fast as we can underwater. We should be there very soon.
Ikahi was still somewhat numbed by the news about Krydike and shaken by Takata Jim's treachery. But over it all, she could not bring herself to accept Kipiru's frantic urgency. He was obviously driven by his devotion to Jillian Baskin and wanted to return to her aid instantly, if possible. Ikahi looked at things from another perspective. She knew Jillian probably already had things well under control back at the ship. Compared with the disaster she had been fantasizing the last few days, the news seemed almost buoyant. Even Krydike's injury could not suppress Ikahi's relief that Streaker survived intact. Her harness whined. With one Waldo hand, she touched a control to give Kipiru a mild soporific.
Now I want you to sleep, she told him. You must regain your strength. Consider that an order if, as you say, I am now acting captain.
Kipiru's eyes began to recess. The lids drooped together slowly.
I'm sorry, sir. I guess I'm not much ch-ch, more logical than Moki.